All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and open to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we come to verses 7 through 12 in our study this week in chapter 7. And so we're going to read verses 7 through 12. If you have a Bible, you can follow along there. If not, the words will be up on the screen as well. But we're in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 7 through 12. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" I hope your parents did not do that to you, okay? "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So as we come to verses 7 through 12 in our study here tonight, this is another passage that I believe is misunderstood like last week's. Last week's, again, everybody seems to know that first verse of Matthew chapter 7, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," right? And we all, everybody wants to throw that out, okay, without really understanding the context of what he's speaking about. He's not saying we're not supposed to judge, because later on we're going to see he literally says to judge, right? Literally later on, he's going to say, "Beware of false prophets." Well, how do you know if somebody's a false prophet or not? You have to judge them. You have to judge what they're saying, right? So he's not saying just don't ever judge like people say, you know, "Hey, it's my life. I'll live it the way I want. Who are you to judge me?" It's not what he's saying, okay? So we went through and we kind of talked about that last week. And so verses 1 through 6 are many times misquoted by those who aren't Christians because they don't understand the context of the passage, and even sometimes church-going people, right? But verses 7 through 12 are unfortunately misquoted by, I believe, many religions. In fact, this is one passage where the prosperity gospel takes scripture out of context, right? If you want it, just ask. If you there anything you want of God, just ask, right? If you want God to give you something, just ask, because he says, "Ask," right? "And it shall be given you." So if you want it, ask it, right? So if I've literally heard this. If you want a visa to America, ask God for a visa to America. He'll give it to you, right? If you want a Hummer, ask God for a Hummer. He'll give you a Hummer. If you want an airplane, ask God for an airplane. He'll give you an airplane. Yeah. That's not what this passage is talking about. It's not what this passage is dealing with at all, right? God doesn't just give us something because we ask for it. He doesn't, okay? And so we're gonna look at this because, again, I believe if we keep this passage in context, which I think that's what we ought to do, right? We gotta keep the passage in context of Scripture, okay? If we keep it in context with what we just studied in verses 1 through 6, I think this will make a little bit more sense to us, because we'll see that Jesus is still dealing with this difficult task of making righteous judgments about people. He's still dealing with this, right? Again, verses 1 through 6. Let's just kind of read it to get to know where we're at. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So think about what he just said. He said there's a right way to judge, right? And he's saying we've got to, first of all, there's got to be humility. So we're trying to be humble about it. Secondly, notice he says you've got to make sure there's nothing in your own eye first, right? So he says if you've got this, if you got a 2x4 sticking out of your eye, how are you going to help somebody that's got a toothpick in their eye? Again, it's an example, right? Nobody has a 2x4 sticking in their eye, okay? It's an example, right? But he says, if you were to have a 2x4 sticking out of your eye, how in the world would you be able to help somebody that has a toothpick in their eye? You can't. So what does he say? He says, now watch this, before you help the person with the toothpick. So what did he just tell me to do? That everybody says don't do. Judge. So if I'm going to help this person with the toothpick in their eye, I am to judge. But he says, first of all, make sure you're right. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure you're humble. Make sure you don't have anything that needs to be taken care of. You get that right. Then are you able to help somebody else? Okay? So the whole idea is we are trying to help other people. Now, are there times when we might try to help people and they don't want our help at all? Yes, and that's what he talks about in verse number 6. Sometimes he says, don't cast your pearl before the swine, right? Don't give it to the dogs. Why? Because there are some times when we might try to help somebody and they just don't want it. They just don't want it. So he says, hey, you know, you're gonna have to realize there's times when people don't want your help. Okay, how am I gonna know that? I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and I have to recognize what's going on. Am I doing it with the right attitude? I can tell you this, if you try to help someone and you have the wrong attitude about it, they're not gonna want it. They're not gonna want your help, right? If you're thinking that somehow you're better than they are and you've got all the answers figured out and you're just God's gift to everybody and you try to help someone, not gonna go well, okay? So this is why he's dealing with the first part of this, making sure our heart is right. But now watch what happens because verses 7 on is how to help someone. Verses 1 through 6 is making sure that we are right, okay? But now verses 7 through 12 are actually, he's giving us instruction on how we're able to help someone. So watch what he says. Because again, one of the most challenging duties in the Christian life, doesn't matter if it's ministry, doesn't matter where it is, Christian life, whatever, one of the most challenging duties is dealing with people. Did you know you all are challenging? Did you know I'm challenging? Don't say amen to that. I know, right? We're challenging, right? We can be difficult at times, okay? And so that's one of the challenging things about the Christian life. And so Jesus has just commanded us, judge not that ye be not judged, but then he also says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. So which is it? Are we to judge or are we not to judge, okay? So again, the answer, as we've seen here, verses 1 through 6, is that we're not to judge hypocritically, but we must judge righteously. Well, that's a problem. How do we judge righteously? Because none of us in our flesh are righteous. None of us in our flesh really can know anything spiritually. So how do we help, right? The problem is that discernment requires wisdom that we do not naturally possess. We do not naturally possess wisdom, okay? Now, we may have experience, okay? Experience in something, okay? You know, if you're working on a car, you know, and you're like really getting down into the engine and things like this, I will tell you this, don't call me and ask me. I know where the tires are. I know where the engine goes. But you start getting into all this kind of stuff and everything, I'm like, sorry, I'm out. right? But I know there are some of you that are really into cars and you can name like every bolt that goes into this. This is this kind of bolt and that's this kind of bolt and this is this kind of steering and this is this. Kudos, right? You see, so experience can come, but what about wisdom? Does wisdom come through experience, or when we think of wisdom, where does wisdom come from? Again, wisdom is different than experience, okay? Every day, we rub shoulders with different types of people, right? Some good, some bad. Even as we're going to see later on in the passage, true prophets, false prophets. And so this is why Jesus immediately says, after he's shown us what type of heart we need to have in dealing with people, he says, now here's the thing. If you're really going to deal with people right and you're really going to help them, here's what you need to do. You need to ask for help because you can't do it on your own. So watch what he says. Ask and it shall be given you. Now again, so many religions and so many times we'll look at this passage and be like, oh, this is monetary. Ask. Ask for possessions. Ask for money. Ask for whatever. No, wait, let's keep it in context here. Keep it with the context, right? The context is discernment. The context is wisdom. The context is knowing how to be able to help someone. Because again, we're gonna get into this next week as well. But look right after this in verse number 13, 14 talks about enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to the destruction. He talks about two ways of salvation. Guess what? You've got to be discerning. In verse 15 on, he talks about these false prophets. We've got to be discerning to know false prophets, true false prophets. So how do we get this discernment? How do we get this wisdom that we need to be able to make wise choices for ourselves, but also to be able to help others and be judging righteously? And so Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. So verses 7 through 12 are not a change of subject. Jesus isn't changing subjects here. He's dealing with the same subject. These verses 7 through 12, are Christ's instructions on how to develop wisdom, the wisdom needed to deal with people correctly. Wouldn't you like to know how to deal with somebody correctly? Wouldn't you like to know how to deal with somebody at work correctly? Wouldn't you like to know how to deal with that coworker correctly? Wouldn't you like to know how to deal with that Christian brother or sister in Christ correctly? He's going to show us. He's going to show us exactly what we need, right? So here's the first thing he says. Ask God for wisdom before you judge others. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, can I say, here's the thing, though. Right? Sometimes we just think, you know, even James chapter 1, verse number 5, I believe it is. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Right? So here's the thing that we get in our mind. All right, God, give me wisdom. Have I got it yet? I'm asking God, I need wisdom. That's not the rest of the verse though, is it? He says, ask and it shall be given you. Then what does he say? Seek. How do you seek for wisdom? How do you seek wisdom? Well, where do we get wisdom from? Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. So how am I supposed to seek wisdom? Guess where I'm gonna seek wisdom at? Right here in his word. You know why many times we don't have wisdom? We're saying, all right, Lord, I need wisdom for this situation. God, I need wisdom for this coworker. I need wisdom for this. And we never open the word of God. We think somehow there's just some magical wand that God's gonna wave and all of a sudden, boing, we've got wisdom. No, he says you ask, you recognize your need for wisdom, and then you need to seek for it. And you need to knock, Lord, I really need this. Lord, I really need this. Lord, I'm seeking. Lord, I'm really looking for wisdom because I need wisdom for this situation. Lord, I need it in my own life to make the right choices, but I need it also in dealing with other people. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. So after warning it against having a critical spirit and commanding us to be discerning, Jesus tells us where to get the wisdom to do both. Both have a humble spirit and to get wisdom, and that is from God. We need divine wisdom. Again, most relational conflicts begin because we think we already know everything. We assume motive. Well, I know why they did it. I know why they said that. I know why they... So we're already assuming motive. We jump to conclusions. We evaluate people based on the limited information that we have, but yet we think with the limited information we have, we already know all the answers. And what happens usually when we try to help? Doesn't usually go good, does it? Why? Because we forgot the most important component. Ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. See, only God sees the heart. So before confronting a brother or before confronting a coworker, before forming an opinion, before making a judgment, ask God. Seek for God's wisdom in this situation. And again, the idea here is to keep seeking God's perspective. The commands here are continuous. Keep asking. It's not just ask one time and boom, I got it. It's not just seek or one time and oh, I got it. No, it's keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Why? Because you're gonna need wisdom tomorrow that you didn't have today. You're gonna need wisdom next week about a situation that you didn't have this week. You're going to need wisdom about a situation next month that you didn't even think was even possible, right? So he says, you have to keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, you keep going to God for wisdom in your life and in how to deal with others. The longer we look at a situation through God's eyes, and the only way we can do that is through his word, what does God say about it? The less likely we are to react in the flesh. How many of us have reacted in the flesh in a situation with someone? And after it was all done, we look back and we're like, wish I wouldn't have said that. Wish I wouldn't have done that. Well, why did we do it? Because we reacted in the flesh. We didn't ask. We didn't go to God. We just naturally assume that we can take care of this situation ourselves. God says, no, you've got to seek God's perspective, God's divine wisdom in this. And watch what happens. When we do, watch what he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now watch. He just said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Notice what he says in verse number 8. He basically repeats it again. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Isn't that what he just said in verse number 7? It's basically the same thing that he just said in verse 7, right? What's he saying? He's re-emphasizing this. This is what you need to do. And if you'll do it, guess what? God will answer. If you'll seek, God will show you. If you'll ask, God will give it to you. If you'll knock, God will answer. If you'll just keep doing this, keep going to God, keep going to God, keep going to God. Don't ever stop. There is a continual process here. We need God's wisdom, not just in church. We need God's wisdom in every aspect of our life. Every aspect, at work, at home, at the job, and wherever we are, at school. We need God's wisdom every single place. But yet, what seems to be the last thing that we ever do? Last thing we ever do is go to God. God says, that ought to be the first thing. Seek. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The Lord does not leave his children to navigate difficult relationships alone. He promises wisdom to those who seek him. So before judging, God says, ask for wisdom. Seek truth. Well, where do we find truth? The word of God. That's where we find truth. Knock, keep asking God, keep going to God. Can I say that many, many judgments would never be made if prayer and asking and seeking came before criticism? But instead, we think we've got the answer first. And so many times, we mess it up. And so he says, first of all, we need to ask God for wisdom before judging others. Notice the second thing he says. Notice in verse number 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, and when he says evil, he's just saying we're not righteous, right? Obviously, if we're saved, he's not saying we're sinners, we're saved, but he's saying we're not righteous like God is. He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So here's the second thing he says. We have to trust the Father's judgment above our own judgment. We trust the Father's judgment above our own. So Jesus points us to the character of God. Notice the character of God. God always does what is best. Amen? God always does what is best. God never makes a mistake. God never does anything half-heartedly, right? I don't know if it's still being said, but I remember when I was a kid, there was an old saying, good, better, best, never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best. You ever heard that before? No. Wow. Okay. Where did I hear that? Do you know that? Yeah. I guess you must have taught it to me. I don't know. I do learn some things, right? But you know what? There is no good or better with God. It's always best. It's always best. God's way is always best. There's nothing, God never does anything wrong. God never does anything half-heartedly. God is always best. And so notice, a child asks for bread. He says, is there a father that would give him a stone? No, if a child is in need of bread, a father's gonna give him bread. He says, if a child asks for a fish, in other words, he's talking about food here, right? If he asks for a fish, is he gonna give him a serpent? Well, no. The stone doesn't do him any good. The serpent's not gonna do him any good, right? What is he saying? Even as earthly fathers, we act for the child's good. We, as a father, we act for their good. We do things for their good. And so what does he say? Likewise, our heavenly Father sees not only the things that we need, but even what we cannot see. He sees the situation long before we ever saw the situation, and he sees the answer long before we ever saw the situation. Did you know that? When that situation comes in your life, do you know that that did not take God by surprise? God knew that situation would come. God knew that issue with your coworker would come. God knew that issue with that brother or sister of Christ would come. God knew that issue with your husband or your wife would come. God knew that issue with your children would come. God knew that would come. And he also knows what the answer is for that issue. You understand what I'm saying? He knows the issue's there. He knows it's coming, and he knows the answer. And yet, what do? We don't even go to our Father about it. We just try to answer it ourselves. And he says, look, you understand how an earthly father has the good of his child in mind. If he asks for bread, he's gonna give him bread. If he asks for a fish, he's gonna give him a fish. How much more does he say? Now again, this is Jesus's words. He says, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So again, context, again, is not possessions. right? Context is not possessions. Oh, I really need a Ferrari. No, you probably don't, right? But Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to know how to deal with this situation. I need wisdom, Lord, to know how to deal with this coworker. Lord, I'm gonna get in your word and I'm gonna find an answer. Lord, I'm gonna search the scriptures. I'm gonna knock and I'm gonna ask. And Lord, I'm asking you, you don't think God's gonna answer? You don't think God's gonna give you the wisdom? He knew the issue was coming and he knows the right answer for it. He says, if you as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father? You see, God's perspective is perfect. We judge from appearance, but God judges from reality. We can't see reality. We think we do. We think, oh, this is reality. No, it's not. This is just what we see. This is how we are observing. This is what our thought is seeing. But God sees what is real. He sees the whole thing. We see actions. God sees motive. God sees the heart. We see the present, but God sees the future. And so the reason we need to be slow to judge is because our knowledge is limited. That's why we go to God, because his knowledge is unlimited. His wisdom is far greater than we could ever imagine. God gives the wisdom that we need. Again, in this context, one of those good things that he's referring to here is wisdom necessary to deal rightly with others. Again, just look in scripture, right? God says, Samuel, I want you to go to Jesse's house. When you get there, you're gonna anoint the next king. All right, Lord, I'm gonna go. I'm a little bit worried about what Saul's gonna say, King Saul's gonna say, Samuel, I'll take care of you. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house. Comes to Jesse's house and says, hey, I need to see your sons. So Jesse brings out his sons. Wow, look at the firstborn, Eliab. Man, I mean, he's of good stature. I mean, he's got a good physical appearance. I mean, he looks like he could lead an army. I mean, sure, and by the way, remember, Samuel is the man of God, right? He's the prophet. You know what Samuel saw? Appearance. All he could see was the appearance. Samuel says, Eliab must be the one. What did God say? Nope. Eliab's not the one. But God, look at him. I mean, he just looks like a king. Appearance. God says, nope, he's not the one. He goes to the second one. Man, well, this one, I mean, he's not quite as good as Eliab, but boy, this one, I mean, he's still got a good features and he still looks like he could lead an army and he looks like he could do it, Lord. God says, nope. Until finally Samuel goes through all six of Jesse's sons that are here and God says, nope, 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 nope. Okay. You got six sons here, Jesse? Yep. God says no to these six sons. Got any others? Got any others hiding in a closet somewhere or something, you know? Oh, I do have one other son, the youngest. He's just a teenager, though. In fact, he's just out with the sheep. Well, God says, I got to look at all your sons. All right, go get David. Somebody runs out, David, Samuel here, he wants to see you. Here comes this spindly little kid, teenager. You ever seen teenagers? They're just awkward. You know, they're just awkward, right? Look, I went through it. You went through it. They're going through it. All right, I mean, come on. Just awkward. Can you imagine David running through the fields? I mean, running up through, I mean, he's been out with the sheep. He's been out with the sheep. Probably smelled a little bit. These guys haven't even been out with the sheep and they smell, you know? I mean, love you guys. you know, he's been out with the sheep. I mean, he's just, and he comes and Samuel, in his mind, Samuel says, there is no way that this is the one. God says, he's the one. Completely contrary, completely opposite of what man saw, God said, he's the one. Why? Because God looked on the heart. You know what? We can't see the heart. All our decisions, all our reactions, all the judgments that we make are all about appearance. And that's why so many times we get it wrong. We get it wrong because God is looking at the heart. Now, again, I'm not saying we are not to judge. God's saying we are to judge. But we have to be careful not to think that we, just by appearance, can figure out what is right and wrong. No, no, no. God says it's about the heart. God gives that wisdom. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Even a prophet needed God's perspective. Even a prophet made that mistake of looking on the outward appearance, not looking at the heart. Whenever you're tempted to make a quick judgment, remember, I don't know everything that God knows. That's why he says, ask, seek, and knock, so that we can get God's perspective, so that we can see what God says about it. We can get his wisdom. That realization that I don't have all the answers, it produces humility. It produces, hey, I've got to get the beam out of mine eye before I can ever help somebody with a toothpick in their eye. Now watch the third thing here. Not only do we see that we are to ask God for wisdom before we judge others, then we are to trust the Father's judgment above our own. We trust his judgment. We can't trust ours. Ours is just about appearance. His is about the heart. What does he say about it? But watch this third thing. Then he says, we're to treat others the way you want to be judged. Look in verse number 12. Therefore. Remember, whenever you see the word therefore, what do? See what it's there for, right? It's therefore. Because he's talking about everything we've just read from verse number 1 all the way down to verse number 11 about judging. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, many people have referred to this verse as the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. I get what they're saying, right? It's a little bit more than that, though. A little bit more than that. Again, we can just take a verse, throw it out of context, and make it really say anything we want it to say. But he says, therefore. The only way that this verse 12 works, the only way that verse 12 works is if I'm doing what God said before this. If I am in humility looking at self, and I am saying, God, I don't have the answers. I don't know how to respond. And before I respond to this, before I make a judgment, I'm going to go to you and I'm going to ask for your wisdom. I'm going to seek your wisdom. I'm going to knock and keep asking, Lord, until you show me what needs to be said or what needs to be done. When I do that, he says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. The word therefore is connecting these verses. And Jesus is now applying this lesson. Judge others with the same fairness that you would desire. Does everyone know your motives? Do you want them judging you just on appearance? And what they know, what they think they know? Would you want them judging you that way? Then why do we judge them that way? Why do we judge them just simply on the information that we think we have? And we have never gone to God about this. We've never talked to God. How do you want people to evaluate you? Do you want them to assume the worst? Do you want them to ignore your motives, not even knowing what your motives are? You want them to refuse your explanation? Do we want them to highlight your failures while overlooking your strengths? How many times do we do that? We'll highlight someone's failure and completely overlook all the strengths and all the things that God has done in their life. But we focus on that one failure. Of course, we wouldn't want to be judged that way. Then don't do it to others. Don't judge them that way. You know, I would say even in marriage, how many times are we willing to bring out that fault, right? That fault that happened, and yet we throw away years of strengths. Coworkers, family, in the church, boy, they made a mistake. I can't believe they made that mistake. Aren't they a Christian? Don't they love God? I can't believe. And throw away all the things that God has done, all the strengths that God has done in their life and that has given them. We throw all those things away. Why? Because we're not judging the way God says to judge. We're judging in how we want to judge. So judge others with the same fairness that you desire. Extend the same mercy that you need. You are the only one that knows your struggles. Some people might know some of them, but you're the only one that really knows your struggles. You're the only one that really knows your weaknesses. You know them. And you know that you need mercy. You know that you need grace. You want that grace extended to you when you mess up. But yet, for some reason, we're not willing to show that same mercy and grace to others when they mess up or when whatever the situation might be. And this is what he's saying. Extend that same mercy, that same grace. Therefore, all things, what does all include? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. That means, how do you want your wife to treat you? Then treat her that way. How do you want your husband to treat you? Treat him that way. How do you want your children to treat you? Treat them that way. How do you want your parents to treat you? Treat them that way. How do you want your coworker to treat you? Treat them that way. How do you want that church member to treat you? Treat them that way. Understand what he's saying? He said the same way that you want people to treat you, that's what you need to do to others. If you don't want people to judge you just out of appearance and first ideas and things like that, then don't do that to them either. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Extend that grace, that mercy. Now again, the golden rule that we were looking at here in verse number 12 does not eliminate discernment. It's not saying we can't be discerning. Again, verse number 6 proves that. But it does govern how discernment is exercised. We may have to confront sin. Again, he's not saying don't. Remember what he says? Before you help them with the mote in their eye, get the beam out of your eye first. So you're still helping them with a mote, right? So there still may be something. There may still be a sin or something that has to be addressed. Maybe someone has fallen into sin. Maybe someone has made a mistake. But here's what he says. Remember how you would want to be treated if it was you, and now you treat them that way. So yeah, we may have to specifically address a sin. But you know what? I'm not just gonna be bombastic and cruel and hating and just throwing them aside. No, I'm gonna be like, if this was me, how would I want someone to come to me about this issue? How would I want someone to come to me about it? That's how I need to go to them. Not one of us ever wants somebody to come and just be bam, 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 bam. No, we would like a little bit of mercy and grace and tenderness and compassion. We would like that, then that's how we need to address it. Look, we know the Bible speaks very clearly about certain sins, right? Very clearly. Look, we know that marriage is between a man and a woman. We know that. The Bible's very clear about that. We know what the world thinks about it. We know the world says, hey, homosexuality is okay. If a man wants to marry a man or if a woman wants to marry a woman, we're fine with that. You know what? The Bible says it's wrong. It's wrong. But I don't have to hate them. I don't have to hate them. I don't have to get in their face and say, you're going to die and go to hell. You know, everybody's going to die and go to hell. Without Jesus Christ, everybody's going to die and go to hell. God says we are to speak the truth, but we are to speak it how? Why do we always forget that? Well, I'm standing for the truth. I'm standing on the word of God. How about in love? This is what he's saying. How you would want to be treated if you were in that situation, that's how you need to treat them. As ye would that men would do to you, do ye even so to them. Hey, he's not saying push truth to the side and just sweep it under the rug and like, oh, we're not going to deal with it. No, he says you can deal with it, but there's a right way and a wrong way to deal with it. There's a right way and a wrong way to deal with sin. Look, Jesus preached against sin. He called out sin. But did they not know that this was a man of compassion and mercy and grace that would say, suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not? He says, that's what he wants for us. There is a balance of truth and compassion. Yes, we may have to confront sin. We may have to correct error. We may have to identify false teaching. We're going to get to that probably next week. But he should do so with the same fairness, patience, love, grace, and mercy that he would desire for himself. When evaluating someone and looking at someone, we have to ask, if I were in their position, by the way, turn over with me to the book of Galatians. Just so you know, this isn't just some one time in scripture where the Bible says something like this. Look over to the book of Galatians. In chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look what he says in verse number 1. Brethren, so who's he talking to? He's talking to believers. It's talking to the brethren, right? The brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, that could be a sin, that could be an error, that could, whatever. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of, what's that next word? Meekness. You know what's the opposite of meekness? Pride. Pride. He says those that are spiritual are going to address this situation with the spirit of meekness. Those that are spiritual. Why? Because they're going to God first. They're seeking God. They're seeking his wisdom. They're asking God. They're seeking. They're knocking. They're spiritual. So they're going to address it with meekness. And then watch what he says. Look at the last part of the verse here in verse number 1. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He said, the reason why we're going with this in meekness is because you are no better than they are. You are just as able to fall into that fault as they are. You say, oh, no, I could never fall into that sin. No, that's pride. Pride. Recognizing that I am just as capable to fall into that fault or that sin or whatever as they are. And you know what? If that was me and I fell into that sin, if I fell into that fault, boy, I would sure want someone to show compassion. I would want someone to come and say, hey, brother, I love you. You're wrong. You're wrong, but I love you. And I want to help you to do what's right. Not in pride. Oh, we can help. Mm-hmm. No. He says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This is what Jesus is saying here when we come back to Matthew chapter 7. If I were in their position, how would I want to be treated? By the way, can I say that question alone would transform many church conflicts, many family conflicts in marriage, in our homes with our families, many work conflicts would be resolved if we would simply follow this pattern. And so Jesus teaches these principles for righteous judgment. We are to judge, but he says, you've got to make sure your heart is right first. And now here's how you judge righteously. How do I do it? Well, I need to go to God first. I need to go to God. I need to ask and seek and knock and ask him for wisdom. And then I need to remember that God's judgment is perfect. God knows more than I will ever know. And that's why I need to find out what God says and even how to do it. Because I need to treat others with the same grace and fairness that I would want to be treated with if I were to fall. The problem in Matthew 7 is not that people are making judgments. The problem that Jesus is saying here is that they're making judgments without humility, without prayer, and without grace. And when we do that, we mess up more than we ever solve. Oh, we're gonna help. It doesn't usually help, it just makes it worse. And so Jesus calls his disciples to judge differently, not with a critical spirit, but with wisdom from above, from God, having a right spirit and a love for others and wanting to truly help them to follow God. But we've got to have the right spirit before we do that. Are we judging righteously the way God wants us to? Or are we just judging on our knowledge and our, what we see, and we're not even going to God at all? Father, I pray you to help us. Lord, you've told us we are to judge. Matthew 7 is very clear about this, and we'll see even more next week. But Lord, it's how we do it. Lord, if we think we've just got all the answers and we can help them, Lord, we are filled with pride. Lord, we have to humble ourselves. We've got to take care of the beam that is in our own eye before we can ever help someone else with that mote that is in theirs. Lord, help us to recognize we need wisdom, not just experience. Well, I've been through this situation before. I know I can help them. No, Lord, it's not just experience. We need wisdom. You know the whole situation. You know their heart. You know everything that's happened before, that's going to happen. You know the right answer. And so, Father, help us to ask and seek and knock. Lord, knowing that you will give it if we will ask and seek and knock and our heart is right with you. Lord, may we be willing to treat others the way that we would want to be treated as well. Lord, we may have to confront sin. We may have to call out something. But Lord, may we do it with love and grace and mercy, knowing that we could be called out for something as well. And how would we want to be treated in that situation? I wonder if their heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about. We're just gonna, just for a moment, I don't know, maybe there's a situation in your life, maybe at work, maybe in your marriage, whatever it might be. And you know, Lord, I've not dealt with this situation right. I've dealt with it in my own ideas, my own experience, thinking I know how I can help. And we look back and we're like, you know, instead of helping, I kind of made it worse. Maybe tonight we need to say, Lord, would you help me when a situation comes at work or in the family or in the church? Would you help me to respond right? Recognizing, Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't know what's going on in someone's heart and their life, but you do. And if I will come humbly before you, Lord, and make sure that my heart is right, and I will ask and seek and knock for wisdom and discernment, Lord, you'll give it. And I will respond to them and treat them the way that I would want to be treated if I was in this situation. Lord, we need your help in this. We make such a mess of things when we do it in our own strength and our flesh and our own ideas. Oh, Lord, we need you. Father, help us with this, to judge righteously, Lord, but that can only come from you. We thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.